Welcome to Growing Pains, a business podcast for entrepreneurs and their teams who find themselves in the growth phase or messy middle in between startup and aiming for six or seven figures and beyond. I'm your host, Laurie Sterling, a COO, coach and mentor. I both do what I teach and teach what I do, with a passion for empathetic team leadership, business operations,
and all things entrepreneurship. Today I have a guest interview with Meredith Kanan. She is a differently wired business coach with heart. She lets her true colors shine while bursting into song. She's a serial entrepreneur and has been helping creative, visionary, and heart-centered entrepreneurs grow and scale online businesses since 2017. She hosts the Heart-Centered Leaders Summit and has a membership called Love Then Lead. Welcome, Meredith. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to have these conversations, especially since you were one of my interviewees in the summit. So it's nice to get to play in your world.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. Yeah. So we met maybe a year and a half ago, something like that, when I was approached by you to speak in your summit. And I think we have a mutual acquaintance through Jennifer Lang.
Yes, she's somebody who's in my Love Then Lead membership. And she's like, oh, this is such a perfect conversation. You need to meet Laurie. I was like, oh, yeah, girl.
Perfect. Well, I'm so glad she did because, yeah, I love being in your universe as well. So, yeah, it's great. So tell me a bit more about your business, your membership, how it all started for you.
Okay, so to try to keep it concise, and as I mentioned, I'm a neurodiverse, differently wired entrepreneur. So I might talk in circles, but I love to tell a good story.
Right.
So I started coaching back in the aughts, right? 2006, I think I started my certification process. And like many coaches, I was nicheless, completely nicheless, and just trying to get clients from time to time. And I had all kinds of clients. And I transitioned out of the world of entertainment. I was a producer and I helped do film finance and I helped was creative and wrote and all kinds of things there. Yeah. And then I found out that you could do this coaching thing as a business. And I was like, really? And so I fell in love and I thought it was going to be a side hustle to help support my entertainment career. That's not really how it went down. And through the process, I started learning about, oh, I should do a niche. And I'm really fabulous in relationships. So I started out as a mom coach and a relationship coach for moms. And I created something called the Mommy's Game because I was struggling as a mother. And what I know now is I was struggling as a mother because A, my undiagnosed ADHD and other neurodiverse challenges came out. And I have a kid who is a high needs kid because of her neurodiversities. Yeah. And so I was a flipping mess and I struggled domestically with cleaning and organizing and all of these things that neurodiverse folks struggle with. So I created a game called the Mommy's Game. The first round I created, I forgot to add all of the parenting, the relationship stuff that I was so fabulous at. As I naturally did it, I had created the game around all of my challenges. And so I did it as a summit, kind of like an odd form of a summit. It was my first niche product. I loved the format of summits to bring in experts and interviews is my favorite thing to do. Yeah. And so that was kind of how the first evolution of the business becoming niched, having some more form and some more structure. And of course, I did it all wrong. I signed up with a business coach who had this amazing bonus on how to run summits that I didn't get access to till later. But he changed my life. And I'll share a little bit because he's part of my evolution as well. And so I did all that while I was launching this Mommy's Game Summit. And it was a lot of fun. And I met somebody else as an interviewee. And I was like, oh my goodness, we zing so well together. Let's do another project. And so it was that process of collaboration with people that I love so much. And that's probably from that entertainment background as well, as most entertainment projects or collaborations. Yeah. And so then once I started working with my mentor, I actually got hired on to be his sales coach because I have amazing sales experience and I have sold my whole life. I've raised $1 million for the feature film that I executive produced. And so I've raised money in various forms my whole life. And I love selling. Wow. Right. I'm one of those like oddballs who's like, yes, I will sell anything. I'm naturally enrolling and everything. I don't know if anybody remembers the TiVos back in the day. I probably sold like 20 TiVos. My husband and I have these amazing, like, magical cloaks. And everywhere we go, we're like, oh, you should get one. It's here. Oh, you should get one. It's here. Oh, you should get one. It's here. And so it's that just love of sharing amazing things. And so my mentor, Ryan Eliason, I started out as his sales coach. Mm-hmm. And while I was working for him, I got to know his content and his business so much because I was a student that eventually in 2017, I pivoted towards business coaching out of the mom coaching world after I had done 2 Ultimate Mom Summits and had launched this program called the Mom's Relationship Transformation Program. And the name is so atrocious. I understand. It's not great. But we sold it and people loved it and all of this stuff. So I knew that all of these things in business were really starting to evolve. Mm-hmm. And while working with Ryan, I coached hundreds of his clients in his systems. And part of it was trying to distinguish between myself and his work and all of this stuff. And he has since retired to Thailand. Mm-hmm. And in 2019, I was coaching my own clients that I had gotten, and I was coaching his clients, and I was doing about 60 hours of coaching per month. Mm-hmm. Of client to client work, and then another 15 to 20 hours of group work in terms of his program and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I was working so much that I was like, okay, I need to change. And in that year, I think it was that year, maybe the year before that, I launched my own stuff and really started to understand how I do things differently. Some of it was understanding that I was doing it neurotypically. And at the same time working with him, I had gotten this training as a neurodiverse parent coach for something called Sanity School. I got this license with these ladies that I had met through the Ultimate Mom Summit. And so I'm getting these kind of 2 concurrent trainings and understanding and coaching all these people in business. And in 2020, in February of 2020, and we all know what happened in 2020, mm-hmm. I launched the membership Love Then Lead. And so I think that was when I think it's one of those big turning points where it was to really distinguish myself and really create my own intellectual property and create my systems on how I do it, especially in seeing all of the things and everybody else is out in the world. And a lot of my clients told me that what I've done is really a strength-based approach to growing your business. And that's really important, especially for us neurodiverse. It's important for everybody, but especially for our neurodiverse folks. Yeah. So I think that's the long and the short of it, how I got here.
Yeah, great. So how long have you been in that particular phase of business?
So as a business coach,
yes.
As a business coach, I started coaching his business programs in 2017.
Yes.
And I had some of my own private clients as well throughout, mm-hmm. but really kind of digging in and having vast amounts of clients. Right. I have thousands and thousands of hours as a business coach. I tracked it 1 year. It was like 900 hours just in 1 year.
Wow.
I don't recommend that many hours. Okay. It's too many. Right. Like, as a neurodiverse person, I'm a little hyper, as you might tell by how fast I speak. If you guys need to listen on slow speed, I understand. But I think fast, I move fast, I talk fast. And I was so used to pushing really hard. And yep. So one of the benefits of launching my membership concurrently in 2020, a month before the world shut down, mm-hmm. it was the opportunity to really focus on leveraging. And so things really shifted at that point in my business in terms of how I delivered. And it was that point where I was like, I have to work less hours.
Yeah.
And I have to do it in a leveraged and brilliant way. So it lined up really. I was blessed in the way things lined up.
Wow. And so how big is your team now? How many team members do you have?
So I have 5 part-time team members, one of whom would say that he is a slave because he is my husband.
Uh-huh.
And he's not. I mean, technically, he's a part owner in the business.
Okay.
But he definitely works just like the other team members. So I have somebody, because of my neurodiverse challenges, one of the things I suffer with is dysgraphia, and I have some dyslexia as well. And so writing output is very difficult for me.
Okay.
So one of the best places for me to outsource was my email campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
And so luckily, my team member, Sonia, she found me at the Mommy's Game all the way back in 20, I don't remember. I think it was 2013 I launched the Mommy's Game. So she came as a volunteer. Mommy's Game changed her life. She's like, I just want to do anything. And so she came on and off in my business, and she would just help me out with sending emails, especially affiliate emails, which is how it started. Mm-hmm. And then she now has my voice so well that she and I meet once a week and we go through and we like, this is what we're talking about. And now she writes a good chunk of the emails. She has my voice down. And so we have all that. So that was probably the best help, I think, for me in my business. And once she got that voice, we started transitioning her into helping with social media as well. So she does the social media posts, and we still, you know, we're kind of co-creating a lot of that together.
Yeah. Okay. So with that new shift in your business model, how many hours do you work in your business now?
Oh, it's a good question. I was actually looking. So I actually just tracked last quarter how many coaching, like private.
Okay.
So I still do a lot of private coaching. I love private coaching. So I am not one of those people who wants to leverage to the point and never do privates. The prices are just going to continue to go up as I do it. But I love private coaching. So I did 75 coaching hours last quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's about 25 privates a month. And then I lead inside my membership weekly, a little more than weekly, because we do a weekly session. And then we also have on the 10th and the 25th of the month, we do our profit first money dates and money conversations. And I know you're in that world. And so that's another hour or two. So I do a lot of that. And then during the pandemic, we also launched a side hustle, which is what my husband does a lot of stuff for. And we started building websites because everybody needed to get online.
Yeah.
And I have the right team for it. I have the back end program delivery and funnels and all of the strategy understanding. My husband does all the graphics and the front end of the website. He is the chief make it look pretty officer. Mm-hmm. And because he's got visual skills, which I don't have. Auditory processor. And then we have an integration specialist on my team as well. And so he's another regular member. He does the more complicated integrations and some of the automations. And then I have an operations manager who, you know, for the most part, most of my team is neurodiverse in some way, shape, or form, most likely undiagnosed.
Yes.
And the operations person is the neurotypical. She's the one that's got the executive function to manage and you know, works in the spreadsheets and make sure everybody gets what they need. Yeah. And so I have her on my team as well.
That's super fascinating because like I can so relate to so much of what you're saying. I have OCD, I have ADD, like there's a few things that I can relate to there as well. But I also like, obviously I have an operations background as well, but it came from a fascination of not being able to get on top of productivity in my home and things like that, which you've all been speaking about. And so it was so important to me to like get that right in both my home life and my work life that I went looking for systems. Like I went looking for the right way to do things. I went looking for the research on how do I, you know, be more efficient and how do I be more productive. And so what I learned and was able to like from an educational standpoint, what didn't come naturally to me at all, but I could take those pieces and then be the expert in that field because of it. So it's amazing that in your case, your ops manager is neuronormal, whereas it's the opposite for me. I don't consider myself neuronormal and we're still in that same role. So that says amazing things about the type of role that can
well, and I think one of the things that I love about what you said is I think a lot of us, it's that area of struggle or that area of challenge that creates something. That's where the Mommy's Game come from, right? Mm-hmm. I was a domestic disaster. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stay on top of the dishes. I couldn't get the laundry done. I couldn't organize a thing to save my life, right? Not knowing it was undiagnosed ADHD and that at least my relationship with my husband and I were amazing. And, you know, understanding all the things that I did so well as a coach and all of that stuff. And so what I find is really interesting is that I think we neurodiverse folks, right, especially when we come up against those challenges, a lot of us are kind of nerdy and love to dig in and learn our challenge areas and learn something, right? So since my kiddo was born, I have been obsessively learning about neurodiversity. Mm-hmm. I got the Sanity School training, not really with the intention to coach it, but mostly so that I could have it for myself as a mom to coach myself. And I was like, okay, and I'll do it. And it kind of happened concurrently with the other being hired on Ryan's team as his, you know, head coach and coach manager for the programs. Mm-hmm. And so it was just kind of an interesting thing to see how it develops. And I think for those of us that are neurodiverse, it's about creating those systems, right? It's why we do it differently, right? Yes. Your ops management is probably very distinctly different than the way my Krista does it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And the perfect thing is, like, there is the relationship between the business owner or the CEO and the ops person or COO. It's always going to be yin and yang, but the CEO is going to have a different personality from business to business. So the COO person can be completely different from one business to another because it's about fitting in with the CEO. It's not about fitting into this role that the, you know, corporations have told us should be, but it's more about that relationship. And so, like, tell me, when you hired your ops person, how did you know they were the right person? How did you know it was the right, like, step to take?
So one thing that happens with me often is I'm a people relationships kind of gal. Mm-hmm. And so Krista was actually in Ryan's world with me.
Oh, yeah.
And so she had come on board in his world. I'd been there for a really long time, and she came on and did a lot of the operations for him and a lot of the finance side for him. And she's got a strong finance background. And so I started talking to her as a friend saying, hey, how can we help each other out? How can we create something? I wanted her to help leverage what she was doing because, yeah, you know, I love to serve. And as it, you know, as the conversation started evolving, I was like, you know what? I just come on board. I just need you, right? What does it look like? I would love to have you bring, because she does this for, you know, other coaches, and she's so good at the operation side of creating SOPs and creating systems and doing all that stuff. I'm amazing at like, I have the executive function for brilliant planning and sequencing, and I hold so much of it in my head. And there's all of the other things that I'm not great at. And so it's about having her taking on those things. So I love what you said about that yin and the yang. And it really is about finding out, like, I'm brilliant in the strategy. I don't need somebody to do strategy. I need somebody to implement. I need somebody to create systems and make my life easier. And a lot of that is the executive function side of it, the working memory and sending the reminders. And she does a lot of, like, creating Slack reminders that go out to me and my team. And I'm like, hey, do this, right? And I just kind of let her take that on to help do some more of the management, which I'm good at. I just don't like doing.
Yeah, fair enough. So what was the catalyst for growth in your business when you really started getting that momentum?
I have one that was really interesting. That's kind of a little woo-woo, and I'm going to share that one. Okay. And then I think the other one was the deciding and the birth of the membership. Gotcha. And the year that led up to it, right? Mm-hmm. The year that led up to it was that, like, 80 hours a month in work. That was a lot to manage. And I'm a mom of young kids. I'm an old lady to be a mom of young kids. I'm 49 and I have a 12-year-old and an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of energy required, and they were much younger, right? Yes. When I got a lot of this done. But my kiddo, my oldest, is a lot of the inspiration behind what I do and why I create what I create. But so the first catalyst was an interesting one that really shifted in bringing in more of the private clients early on. And this was before I shifted into the world of business, but just from an energetic perspective. One of the things that happened is I leaned into my instincts and my, like, spirit. And so as an auditory processor, I also seem to get these intuitive whispers and hits, right? Whether it's magic, whether it's the universe, whether it's a spirit guide, who cares what you want to call it, right? I believe that I'm being guided. And I was in a coaching session with a client, and all of a sudden I got the image of the movie from The Golden Child with, like, Eddie Murphy or something like that. And I was like, I don't know why. And so I said it to him, and he's like, my mom used to call me that when I was a kid.
Oh, wow.
So it was one of those things. And I think it was in that moment that I decided that I was going to honor all of those intuitive hits, all of the whispers and all of the things, and really just allow it to be a big part of my business and not hide it.
Yeah.
And so I would say that was a level of ownership and claiming that I'm a spiritual being and that I'm guided in that way inside my business. And in that moment, like he and I were making jokes and he's like, we're going to sprinkle some fairy dust that you have more and more magical clients and that the magic helps bring it all together. And it happened. It was, you know, I want to say that was like 2015 or 2016. And then all of a sudden I started getting more and more of my own private clients coming to me because I would say these things. I'm like, I'm a little woo woo and I have a magic wand. I don't know that I have it in reaching distance, but I actually have three or four magic wands. One that's a hand carved magic wand. I have this beautiful magic staff that my husband created for me. And so part of it was really the owning the intuitive side, owning the spiritual side and knowing that it was working in conjunction with the brilliance of my strategic brain.
Yeah.
Right. The positivity and the way that I coach. Right. So those are some of the kind of the unique flavors that make me me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a big catalyst just kind of in general was making that commitment and honoring that.
Yeah.
And then I started hearing a lot more people doing it and I started saying it and I would meet people out locally and I'd be like, yeah. So, and that's kind of how I started growing my business here was I would start meeting people and they're like, oh, you're a coach and what do you do? And I'm like, well, I'm a little woo-woo. And they're like, oh, I love woo-woo. And I was like, great. And so I was naturally attracting the right type of clients.
Yeah.
Right. The ones that really loved and appreciated that style of working together. So that was one catalyst. And then the second catalyst was while I was coaching in Ryan's program and I was having a conversation with one of my biz besties. And in this conversation, Love Then Lead was born. Right. It was just in a conversation, creating a future, what I wanted it to look like, and the way I wanted business to start. I wanted it to start from our hearts. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to start as a structure of who we are at our best versions of ourselves, and then for us to create it. But so many people don't know how to describe their best version of it. They don't know how to articulate these things. And so in that conversation with Gary, Love Then Lead was born.
Amazing.
Right. She was conceived, right? So she was conceived at that moment. I like to look at my business entities as beings as they have their own kind of energy and spirit, just like growing children. Yeah. And so she was conceived. It was a long labor, right? Because that was, I think, maybe the tail end of 2018, maybe November 2018. And she wasn't born till 2020. Mm-hmm. But, and one of the things that kept happening is I kept coming up with how I wanted the concepts to come out and I would go and I would leave them for a while and then I would come back to them and I'd be like, no, I need to rewrite it. And I would rewrite it in the exact same way I wrote it before. And I would do it again. And I'd be like, okay, well, this is how it's meant to come out.
Yeah.
Right. If I keep having that conversation and again, in a conversation with a client, so this might be a third of those kind of insightful things. Some of my intellectual property came out. I was having a conversation and we were talking about branding and it relates to this, how do we understand, describe, and articulate who we are, especially when you're a service-based brand?
Yes.
And so I was in this conversation and I got this whisper and it was a reminder of something that had come from my world of acting 15 years earlier and from a mentor, one of my acting mentors. Yeah. And so it is kind of the foundational first module in my work that came from this hit as I was talking to another private client while we were trying to figure out where his umbrella and his brand was inside of his business. And it's my signature seven essences to letting your true color shine on through. I told you I was going to sing, right?
True colors.
And so that was born in an intuitive hit and I kind of captured it. And the really kind of woo-woo freaky thing was had that conversation with my client. I was thinking about that mentor. And the following day, I found out that he died that day, that mentor had died that day. And so I believe that it was a gift from him to help inspire my work from that act, you know, that acting mentor all those years ago. And I was like, okay, that's what I believe it's, you know, meant to be.
All right. So what has been the hardest part about growing your business?
Well, I think as a neurodiverse entrepreneur, I have lots of ideas and we get stuck with shiny objects and we want to create things. And I write really amazing copy and I sell really well. And one of my challenges is I tend to, especially kind of early on, is I would come up with a new way to marketing it. And then I would come up with another way to do it. And I would come up with, instead of getting the momentum to build. And I still have these things where I'm like, oh, I want to do this product. And I want to do this product. And I want to do this product. And it's not giving it the time to snowball, to have all these things that, you know, they feed into it, but they're not necessarily leading, right? I'm not entirely doing what I teach, which is to have people lead along a customer journey in a beautiful path. And sometimes I'll be like, here's an one-off, here's a one-off, right? Mm-hmm. Because of that need to do something differently. And yeah. So I would say that's a challenge. Even though I sell and I make offers and people buy, and I sell and I make offers and people buy, it doesn't have the momentum behind it to have large numbers of sales. And so, you know, there's that. That's a challenge. And I also went through a place where I couldn't sell. And as a sales coach and somebody who loves to sell, right, I had some, like, the pressure and the stress of life and the pandemic and right, all this stuff. And my husband's been out of work for a while. Like, I just kind of went, like, I got like buried. And I think I got stuck in that. And I got stuck in a little, it was like two months where I was just not able. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? Right. And of course, you make it mean like I've lost my touch. I don't know what I'm doing and all of this stuff. And it was just one of those, you know, we get them, right? Those mindset challenges where we're up against something and you don't know how to get to the other side of it. And I think, you know, in this economy, I think people have the, like, the stress of the economy or something like that. And unfortunately, kind of the more, I think I was so attached to results as well. You know, I'd been seeing the membership growing incrementally and I wanted it, you know, I want one of those big numbers. I wanted to be one of those coaches, right? And I'll be honest, you know, I make really good money as a coach. I have tons of clients who would be super thrilled to make what I make. Yeah. And I want more. I'm very driven. I want more, right? I would love to be the coach that could cover my entire household income all by myself.
Yeah.
And I think that that pressure and I think that that ambition tied together, I got really attached to results instead of attached to the commitment to make the difference, to give people the tools that they need, which is where I know I need to be. Instead of being in my seven essences, I got stuck in results and things like that. And I just got, you know, I had a dip in income. It was a tough place, right? To see the income go down.
There was some tough things happening through that pandemic. It happened to me as well. I was coaching at the time and that was for another coaching business and operational efficiency business. And overnight, all of these businesses just like had to close their doors and they were coming to us saying, what do we do? And well, I'd never lived through a pandemic before. So, I mean, other than saying, well, we have to pivot if you want to keep, but there were many clients that ended up like having to cancel their payments and because their income just dried up overnight. And like to handle that, I would show up and, you know, give it all I had. But then, you know, as the laptop closes, I'd be under a blanket because I couldn't handle
right. Like, and I think it's an emotional impact, right? For a while there, I was tracking my money on a daily basis and I would see failed payments go through and it would give me that emotional hit. And I'd be like, oh, and now I have to chase them. And now I have to deal with this or they're going to cancel. And the negative thoughts as they start to spiral. And as neurodiverse folks, some of us have real difficulty getting out of those negative emotions and negative thoughts and switching back into the positive side of our task positive network and really being able to get to the dopamine and get to the accomplishment and get to that positive side. And I think it can be really difficult. And to figure out, I had to manage my tracking and do it in a different way so that I wasn't seeing what wasn't hitting or wasn't seeing the things like that. Then you start to also have like negative beliefs about those clients that you absolutely love and adore. And you're like, oh my goodness, so-and-so is late for the third month in a row. And it's not a very big deal, right? Like, and then you make these negative stories up instead of coming from that compassionate place to just be like, oh my goodness, I wonder how they're doing. How do I help in their world? Yeah. How do I make that difference and show up even if they can't do that? And I think that was another place You know, I think when I continue to remind myself of why I do what I do, because I don't want entrepreneurs suffering month over month. I want them to have that consistent income, to make consistent sales, because that is the skill set that we need to have profitable and successful businesses. And in the way that I teach sales, the thing that I try to remind everybody of is that what we're doing as a salesperson is holding that possibility.
Yeah.
We're holding possibility for the future that our clients want. And we have to stand that that possibility is actually available to them in a really powerful and profound way. Ooh, I'm going to get moved. And that when we do that and we come from that place of holding possibility and standing for their dreams and really helping them get there, right? It's such a more beautiful place to have a sales conversation. It's such a much more moving way of being.
Yeah.
And then people are like, oh my goodness, I love how you're holding me. I love how you're being with me. I love how you're standing side by side with me to get this result. And I think that when we can think about the ripple and the impact from that perspective of all of these entrepreneurs living their dreams, or all of these people who want to have the man of their dreams, or having amazing relationships with their kids, whatever the service is that you're providing, when we think of that ripple and hold that, that's the gift. And when we have the ability to continue to remember, that's when sales are possible. And I had lost that. And I think that was that challenge.
Yeah, no, I can relate to that. Like for me, what drives me is I want to help other entrepreneurs make the biggest impact that they can in their business. And yeah, so it's changing the way that they currently run their business so that they can have more time to make that bigger impact. So yeah, that's brilliant. What has been the highlight of running your business?
I think the highlight's been like, so during the pandemic, we got stuck at my parents' house in Florida for a handful of months. My dad was having some health challenges and they were trying to move. And so because everybody was on online schooling, you know, my business is, okay, I have a couple of highlights, right? My business is portable, right? I have an online business and it can go anywhere. And so I had to pivot with my first summit. And I had this whole plan to film in Los Angeles where I live and Burbank and all of this stuff. And we were in Florida and I was like, okay. And I was really blessed that one of my business besties, Stasha, who happened to be living in Florida at the time because of the pandemic, she and her partner came to support me in my summit. Oh my God. She has been my kind of ride or die biz bestie that is always there for me. There for me whenever I need. And I think that's a highlight. I think one of my favorite highlights is that I have some amazing business colleagues that I consider just such loves and such support and that I get to play with them. I just had another one inside my membership this morning and I met a new business bestie in this past Ultimate Mom Summit. I'm going to talk to her on Friday. And so I think it's the people. I think much about the business is that I'm absolutely in love with my clients.
Yeah.
I have the best clients on the planet. I have the best biz besties who show up for me all the time. Yeah. And Stasha, even on my second summit, thank goodness she signed up to be, you know, my co-host and help out, because right before the second summit, I got a concussion.
Oh.
And so during the live portion of the retreat that we do as a part of a tie-in to the summit, there was a couple of those interviews. I couldn't stare at the screen. I couldn't really be present. Like I got halfway through it and it was like day one and the concussion was only a couple, 5 or 6 days old. And so I was like, I have to go look down over here. And she, you know, jumped in as that co-hostess with the mostest and really helped. And so I think that's the highlight. I think it's about having a network that's there for you. I'm going to Australia on a speaking tour. I'll be speaking in Sydney May 8th and in, I don't know when this is going to air, in May 10th and in Melbourne. And I get to do it with my biz bestie, Stasha, in another country, which is a highlight. And while I'm gone, I have Ariana, who's doing some money mindset coaching for me. She's the one that taught this morning. And then my other biz bestie, Gary, is going to lead the three money dates that happen on the 10th and the 25th while I'm gone. And so That's it. The highlight is the people. The highlight is the relationships and how blessed I am to have people who show up with me, next to me, behind me, all around me, cheering me on for the good and the bad, holding space when I need to bawl my eyes out because something didn't go right or whatever it is.
Amazing.
They're it. Yeah. That's
who
the highlight.
Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want to start a business just for that reason?
Yes. And I think as solopreneurs is one of the things I recommend, is one of the things I teach, is have a biz bestie, have an accountability buddy. Mm. Neurodiverse folks, we need a lot of co-working. Whatever it is, get somebody that's on your side cheering you on.
Yeah. Love it. Well, what is next for you? What is your dream and vision for your business?
Since the pandemic is winding its way down, I'm launching a podcast. So that's one thing. I mean, I have a lot that I really want to do. And this could be just the like, oh my goodness, there's so much to do. Launching a podcast. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to launch it in February and got a little sidetracked, which is fine. I'm in charge of the business, so I get to push the dates whenever I feel like it. I'm writing a book.
Ooh,
wow. So I have a book I want to launch. And then I would love to do an in-person conference and retreat. So the Heart Centered Leaders Summits have all been online. And then we had virtual retreats because it, you know, 21, 22, whatever the years were. And so it's time to come back to meeting in person. It's time to come back to leading a huge group of people. It was one of the things that I got to, that I had the privilege of doing in Ryan's world, was leading his in-person retreats and events and doing so much of it. And it was that moment when I got on stage that I was like, oh, I belong here. And so that's got to be born. The question is where and when, and I don't know. And so I think those are the three big ticket items. And then if we really want to talk about where the future is going, because I'm an ambitious lady, I want a TV show. I want a TV show that helps entrepreneurs build businesses, right? How to launch them, right? They're, I know people at Netflix and all the other, you know, I live in the middle of the entertainment capital of the world.
Yes. So, it brings your old life with your new life and brings them together.
Right. Instead of as an actress, as the host, as the coach, as the me. But I think that would be really cool. So that's one of those dreams that I don't know where it is in the future, but I know it's there.
Oh, love it. That's so good. All right. So how can people follow you and your journey?
Oh, that's a good question. You can follow me on Facebook at Meredith Kanan. It's C-A-N, like I can, A-A-N, the double A's on Facebook. And Meredith Kanan, Differently Wired Business Coach. I'm on Instagram at Meredith O.B. Kanan, and the O.B. is from my maiden name. Uh-huh. And you can also go to my website, MeredithKanan.com, and I got a bazoodle of free gifties for you, increasing your income and or mind maps and all kinds of stuff. So,
love it. Excellent. I wonder if Krista would come on this podcast as well, the other side of the coin.
Ooh, I will ask her.
Yeah, that would be very cool. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on today. And thank you everyone for listening. If you are a CEO and you would love help with your own OBM and integrator to level up their own COO leadership and strategic management skills, then please reach out by email or social media. I have a prospectus for them on my 9-week digital COO accelerator. That might be the perfect product for them. So thanks for listening today and have a productive day.